Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stanis, and I'm also the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. We are having our 30th annual Women of Wisdom Conference this March 24th through the 27th. And we're so excited. We're going to have some fabulous workshops. We have speakers, Rhian Eisler and Cynthia James, and some wonderful presenters. We have panels this year on some interesting topics of interest for women. And our theme is celebrating our sacred pearls, nourishing the waters of the feminine. So check it all out at the Women of Wisdom website, womenofwisdom.org. And today my guest is Starfeather Marcy. She is one of our presenters at the conference and has been with us many years. She is an initiated medicine woman, spiritual teacher, healer, artist, and drum maker. She's considered an honored elder and has been offered sacred, has been offering sacred circles and retreats, drum making, and other creative workshops in the Pacific Northwest for over 30 years. She's a trained sound healer, energy healer, shamanic practitioner, and hypnotherapist for past life regression. Blessed with many wonderful Indigenous and non-Indigenous teachers, she has dedicated her life's work to learning, honoring, and sharing the healing ways of living with intention to walk in beauty. And her website, where you can read about her more, is starfeather.net. She's presenting a workshop this year. It's on Medicine Wheel Guided Journey, and it's going to be Saturday afternoon on March 26th. So welcome, Starfeather.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I'm always delighted to share some times with you, Chris. We've done this a few times before.
And it's nice. Great to have you at the conference again. You've done the drum making ones, and this one you're doing a medicine wheel. So tell us your background or your training for this workshop.
Sure. 30 years. Thank you. Well, you know, it's kind of like, what's my background and training for it? It sort of began when I was like 5 years old. So, you know, as we get older, you can get that really long range view and see how your life really moved this way and that way. But actually it was a straight line to now. And for me, that the one of the turning points in those windy paths was when I met a friend of mine, who's a good friend of mine now, White Horse, who came to some of my shield making retreats back in the 1990s. And she and I became good friends. And through that relationship, she eventually confided in me that she was the granddaughter of a medicine woman, a Cherokee medicine woman. And that had kind of kept secret in her family. And she had been given the teachings, a lot of the teachings from her grandmother. She was the only grandchild that was interested. And so I was very blessed to be with her during that time. And she, when I was finished my bleeding time and I was turning 50, she asked me if I wanted to have the initiation of walking into the Elders Lodge. And that that was extraordinary. I didn't realize it so much at the time, but she gave me many gifts through that ceremony. And I also want to say that she received gifts from experiencing the Medicine Shield retreats with me, because it kind of gave her a place to really come into her own. Anyway, it was a beautiful relationship. And she, in that initiation, one of the tasks I had to do was learn the Cherokee medicine wheel. And So I did that, and then I called the circle of friends together, and we built a medicine wheel in my backyard. So that would have been about 26 years ago, and those teachings kind of stayed with me, and I used them a lot in calling in the directions and that kind of thing. But it really wasn't until COVID started. And my work started to shift from being gathering people here at my home to being on Zoom. And I did a lot of time contemplating about what did I have to offer? How could I serve? And this idea came to me to do a meditation, or a shamanic journey meditation, guided visualization where I would take people on a walk around the medicine wheel, and the medicine wheel has 36 stones, and then talk about what each one represents. And it became then a weekly practice of mine to do that. And so it's now like 2+ years later, and I've done that every Sunday. And it's a prayer too. It's not just a journey. It's really a prayer of gratitude for all our relations. And it's very interesting because for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons it's interesting to me is in the shamanic way, there's a shift once you enter the medicine wheel, and I begin to get messages and translate that out through my speak of about the wheel and the prayers. And so a lot of times we have a sharing beforehand, so people express what their needs are, why are they dedicated, or why they have, you know, chosen to be there in the morning. And a lot of times information comes to them, and through that expression of the wheel. And I don't know, it's just I've learned so much, and it has so deepened my own private practice and my own understanding of the medicine wheel in a way I never got, you know, before. So I had to kind of walk backwards a little bit, and White Horse and I have gone our separate ways, and, you know, kind of connect with her again and thank her again. It's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea, you know, what the depth of what you gave me. And so it's been very, very rewarding. And, you know, I have to say, I don't know if I would have found it if it hadn't been for our closed lockdown experience. So I'm grateful, you know, that emerged through that. Had to shift my work, and it's been good.
Yeah, it's interesting how we all have had to shift and how we're able to make it work. Like, we wouldn't have thought before doing something on Zoom. No way, you know, and here we are, and even doing the conference, and it's still people finding just as intimate, making relationships, having friends, you know, being in conference, you know, small groups, because you know, the luxury of having breakout rooms and people can share. So it's the same kind of sharing and growth and witnessing that happens even in person. And I find it even more focused, because like, you are right there on that screen, and I'm not getting distracted by people sitting, what's that person over there doing? What's going on in the room? What's going on in the window? You know, there's fewer distractions. Right. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask this question just because, you know, it's a current topic, and it's, you know, it's misappropriation of things, and you've been gifted this, but can you talk about, how it's important to be letting people know that you've been gifted this, that you have been initiated, that you know the whole thing of misappropriation, and that we're using other people's, you know, Native Americans' traditions, and how you feel about that.
It's a really important topic, and I really took some time out in my own life a few years ago to ask those questions of myself. You know, do I really have a right to do this? And sat with that. So I don't think there's a, you know, there's not a one answer for everything. There's you know, I really like to have people ask me, you know, what does give you the right to do that? And I never have ever, you know, tried to make people believe that I'm Native American. I'm not at all. Unfortunately, I had my DNA done to see if that would give me an answer, because I've always been so driven to the Native path of spirituality, earth-based spirituality, when it didn't fit into, you know, my family's background or anything. And my older sister is the same. She is very, and actually one of my younger sisters pretty much also. But we're not looking to copy. it's something that comes through your soul. I don't know how to explain that to somebody who may have never had that experience. You know, I was not raised in a strong religious belief system, and I've always felt highly spiritual. So I'm seeking. What is it? Where can I fit in? What aligns with my ideology, my personal belief system? I just always went to Indigenous cultures to learn. And the one that has stayed with me throughout my life is the Native path. And I'm just fascinated by the history. I used to, have big regrets for some of the wrongdoings of my people towards the Red Nation and my, including my own ancestors. So I sometimes wonder if this drive I have, this inner work that I'm doing, is kind of on behalf of my lineage, as a way to apologize, as a way to try to teach, the good way, the beauty way, as opposed to following along what wasn't really that indoctrination of Christianity that never really took for me. So there you have it, sort of.
Well, yes, thank you for sharing. And I think too, you're kind of spirit led there with meeting and being initiated by that friendship you had of somebody who was Native. And that's even controversy. Like some Native people are sharing and wanting to pass it on, and some aren't and don't want to pass it on to white people and find your own culture and that kind of thing. So it's a big debate, but I appreciate you sharing who you are.
I'm happy to talk about it because I think it's a subject that needs talking about. Uh-huh. And there's definitely been, people that have been using the Native way to for their own benefit, and that's not what I'm about at all. But the other thing to say is there's a limit. A white horse told me, what she told me was, I had asked her if I could write about this, because I thought, but why? I'm not finding that, this particular medicine wheel. There are many different medicine wheels, that are unique to different tribes or bands. So she said, no, I couldn't write about it. She said, it's an oral tradition I passed on to you. And if anyone is to write about it, it'll be my granddaughter. So she has one granddaughter. She has many, but she has one granddaughter who has expressed interest in her teachings. And so White Horse spends time with her, teaching her. So I'm, very hopeful that down the road that this young woman will, really step into that place of being a medicine woman with her Cherokee background and affiliation.
And what strikes me is in the importance of knowing the boundaries.
Yes.
What's appropriate, what you've been given, what you can share, and all that. So one thing in the description, I'm not sure if you said it here, calling it a living prayer. Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to share what that means.
Oh, I'd love to. That's kind of an expression that I started saying. I don't really know where it came from, but to me, that means it's not a prayer up in your head, up here somewhere. It's an alive thing. And so, when you're walking with it, it's wholly embodied in your physicality and in everything around you. And when you walk into the medicine wheel, you've been in a sacred place and you can feel the energy of the space is different And so, and that could be a temple or a cathedral or something. So for me, that cathedral is nature, and it's out in my own medicine wheel. When I'm out there, I just feel like the earth, the wheel, and the trees and the birds, everything kind of responds, and the energy amps up as we connect with that. And that's, I guess that's the best way I can describe it.
Great. And also a gratitude aspect of it. The gratitude, I think, probably in the journey aspect of, I mean, you often hear people talking about gratitude, but how do you incorporate that?
Well, one of the things that we're taught is, you know, that tobacco is a plant that was, is it like its duty is to help us pray, and it's a living being, right? It's a plant, and so we take a lot of times, like I outside of my wheel, I have a jar that's got tobacco in it, and when I'm going to go on the walk the wheel, I take a some handful of tobacco. And when I'm walking around the wheel, I'm like whisper prayer. Thank you for the four-leggeds. And then whatever comes to my mind to say about all the animals, the pets, the cats. The animals have been giving us so much love in the last couple of years. And the giveaway of the animals for food and so on. And then you take a little bit of that tobacco and you put it on the rock. And then you just leave it there. So it continues to give that energy to that rock. It becomes part of the medicine of the rock. And then you keep walking around and do that. You might not do that for some stones, but there might be one that really calls to you. Really so thankful for whatever for the plants. Thank you for the trees, you know, and you really express more deeply that way, and you can put that tobacco on the stone.
So one of the aspects of the workshop is you're having people have stones, and you did mention that each stone means something.
Yeah.
Or do we put the meaning into the stone for what's personal for us? How does that work?
Well, so the medicine wheel, it's a sun wheel, so there's this outer circle. And that outer circle is the calendar, and it's the four directions, and it's the seasons, and so the cycles according to the sun. And then there's an equilateral cross of stones, three, and then there's a big one in the middle, and then three down, and then three and three. And it's those stones, the three and three, and each of the equilateral cross there is each one of those is dedicated to something, we could say all our relations, so that everything in the universe is there. So there's the stone for the moon, for the sun, for the stars. You know, there's the stone for the insects and for the rocks, for the minerals, and so on like that. So so when I say bring your own stones, I'm hoping that people will, again, it's about getting your body involved in it, so it's not just a mental construct, but you can lay that pattern out as I'm talking about it, lay it out, and you'll have that circle and you'll have that equilateral cross actually there with some beautiful stones that you've selected. And then you can, as you go around the meditation, you can touch those stones and, you know, have that relationship then with that circle on a physical level, as well as on a mental level, and get, in other words, get more emotionally and connected to the experience.
So that our people, can they do this in their house? I mean, because we're on Zoom, or are you going to go outside, make your stones, and come back, make your circle, and come back? Or, you know, how does that
work? I'm not sure. I think what I was thinking when I came up with that idea was when a lot of people who come to my, I do this every Sunday, as I think I said. So a lot of people that come to that group have made a circle like on a tabletop, or they have a tray, you know, that they have made that circle. And I recognize how it's really helping them to learn it and to touch it and to know it that way. So that's what I'm thinking would be an inside thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and people will be instructed too beforehand. The information will be out there. So I know you'll figure that out. It's very much a journey. So it's kind of
they can be tiny stones. They don't, I'm not expecting people to bring these boulders into their living room or something.
And a lot of like I collect rocks when I go to beaches and they're sitting on a window in front of my sink. So I'm sure most people have stones or you can easily put some stones in the
jar. Yeah.
I know I was kind of picturing large because think of medicine. Well, I was picturing these large stones, like, okay, they don't have to be big.
Yeah.
So let's see. Is there anything else that, well, I guess one thing I like to know is how you feel this, your workshop fits in with our theme, honoring our, celebrating our sacred pearls, honoring that, nourishing. We're talking about nourishing the waters of the feminine.
Okay, so what, say that again, what did you?
How our theme that I just stated fits in with your workshop, how your workshop contributes to that theme.
Well, I think that we are so nourished by our inner journey and often our world is too busy. You know, we don't take the time to really pause and get to quiet down. And I, one of the things the journey itself that I do isn't all that long, but it really takes you to a deep place inside. And that's very nourishing. That's going into the waters, right? So you're going deep into that place. And I think of the pearls, it's like the pearls of wisdom. And my hope is that, I think we all long to be more in touch with the earth and more in touch with our own spirit. And of course with the great spirit or the creator. And so we, in order to get to that place, we have to quiet down. You know, one of the things that the old ones say is, would you please be still, be still. We want to whisper some wisdom to you, and you can't hear us because you're always talking. So, and I think that's a really great message, because if we're not always talking, we're always listening, or we've got our phone, or there's just all this distraction in our world. So it is coming to the well of nourishment in that way, and you're nourished, you're nourishing your heart and your soul self to be there.
Great. Well, that's a wonderful last message for people listening to this, to the interview with you. Thank you so much for being here today, Starfeather, and sharing your wisdom with Woman of Wisdom.
Thank you. It's always delightful to be with you, Chris. Thanks.
Yes. And so everybody check it out at the womanofwisdom.org website. Look for the 2022 conference, all our offerings, and Starfeathers is there. And also her website is starfeather.net. So stay tuned for more interviews. They're all posted on our website with everybody's workshop. As soon as the interviews are completed, I put them up. And so you can listen to everybody and make choices of who you want to see at the conference. It's a great way to get to know some of the presenters.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And I look forward to meeting some of these wonderful women on our call on Zoom, on a workshop. It'll be really fun.
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris.